You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder, Baseball Essential, flying solo today. We had planned to be with Vince, but then he had something coming up, so it's just me today. I will be talking to you about some of my thoughts about the Dodgers' 10-3 victory over the A's on Monday night. Dustin May looked great. Going to talk about him, talk about some of the offensive stars, and then I'm going to talk about a question that a loyal listener had about some thoughts about just kind of offensive approach and things like that. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so let's start with a little bit of injury news. The Dodgers had two different players leave the game on Monday night due to injury. Chris Taylor took a 96-mile-an-hour fastball off the left elbow. He stayed in the game to finish running, scored in that inning, but then came out when the Dodgers came back out on defense in the next inning. And later in the ninth inning, I believe, Cody Bellinger beat out an infield single and got spiked by the pitcher trying to cover first base. Just kind of kicked in the back of his calf, lower calf area. He came out for precautionary reasons. And Dave Roberts said after the game, both of them seem like they're going to be fine. They're both day-to-day. Chris Taylor had x-rays, and it was negative, which is positive. And so he said he's day-to-day, is just bruised and swollen and obviously sore. He said Cody Bellinger, Roberts seemed not at all concerned about Bellinger. Basically, he just got kicked in the leg, and so it was sore. Cody joked that the ice hurt more than the getting spiked did. And so they're both day-to-day. I wouldn't be surprised if Taylor is out for a couple days. Bellinger, you know, I would expect him to be back in, but maybe they'll give him one day off just to be safe. But seems like nothing too major there, which was good. Crisis averted. The offense had a really good night. Poor former Dodger farmhand Frankie Montas, who was part of that trade that he went to the A's when the Dodgers got Rich Hill and Josh Reddick back in 2016. He took the loss. He got pounded through 90 pitches in, I think it was 2 2/3 innings. Gave up 7 runs and just, you know, he has really good stuff, but the Dodgers just put a pounding on him. And so I felt a little bit of bad for Frankie. I've always liked him, but in the end, I'm more interested in the current Dodgers winning than the former Dodgers minor leaguers having success, so I was happy about it. But I'll talk more about the offense in a minute. First, I want to talk about Dustin May. Dustin May is the Dodgers' number 5 starter, and we've all known that that's kind of, you know, quote-unquote in name only. He's the number 5 starter because the Dodgers are ridiculously deep in starting pitching. But of all the, I mean, if you told me that only one pitcher in the Dodgers' current starting rotation would win a Cy Young Award in the future, Dustin May might be my guess. It would be either him or, you know, Walker Buehler. But Dustin May, he has potential to be an ace. And we saw that on Monday night. His stuff looked so good. His curveball wasn't really working. He didn't throw it very much at all. But his cutter was working. His four-seamer looked good. And his sinker, like always, just looked really good. We said all last year, if he could just add a strikeout pitch, just get more swing and miss, that's the missing link for him. And he had 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. He looked really, really good. First real start of his career in which he didn't allow any runs. He tied his career high in innings pitched and strikeouts. Just a dominant performance by Dustin May. He looked really, really, really good. 2 hits and 2 walks, and that was it. And so it's just you know, we're through the rotation one time now, and Clayton Kershaw was easily the worst Dodgers pitcher this first time through the rotation. And as I said yesterday, you know, we're not going to get too high or too low about anything that happens at Coors Field. I am very excited to see what Clayton Kershaw can do tonight at sea level, because I think Kershaw is still a very good pitcher, and he just didn't have it at Coors Field on opening day. So I'm hopeful that he will bounce back tonight. But yeah, I mean, when you go through a time through with the rotation and Clayton Kershaw is your worst start, that's probably a good sign. You know, Buehler looked great, not at his best, but solid. Trevor Bauer looked great for six innings. Julio and Dustin May, the 4 and 5 starters, just they've dominated. They've looked really, really good. And so even if the Dodgers couldn't hit, it would be an exciting time to be a Dodger fan, just looking at not just the depth, but the actual quality of starting pitching that the Dodgers have, because they have the best starting rotation in baseball. No matter what other teams you want to look at, the Dodgers have the best starting rotation in baseball, and that's with other guys sitting in the bullpen who probably would be starters on other teams. And so it's really exciting. In a way, I'm glad they didn't go with a six-man rotation that I was advocating for, just because I'm excited to see Dustin May pitch again, and I don't want to have to wait an extra day for that. So thanks, Dustin May, because that was really, really fun to watch on Monday. Like I said, I'm excited to see what Clayton Kershaw can do today against these A's. The A's are now 0-5. The Dodgers are 4-1. And, you know, it just that one just keeps taunting me that they lost the one game I was at on opening day. But 4-1 is not bad after 5 games. We will take it. I'm going to come back in a minute and talk a little bit about the offense and what they did in this game and what they've done so far this year. So keep it locked on Dodgers. RockAuto.com is an online auto parts dealer. They're a family-owned business. And let's face it, there are way too many kinds of cars, brands and makes and models and everything for any auto parts store to stock everything you need. So if you go down to the auto parts store, you're either going to buy a generic part that's not made specifically for your car, or they're going to have to order in the part that you need. Well, you could just skip the middleman and go to the internet. You have it. You're listening to a podcast right now, so you definitely have the internet. Just go to rockauto.com and you find your make and model of car, and they will list all the parts they have available. And guess what? You're going to find what you need, and you're going to pay a lot less than you would if you went to the auto parts store, because Rock Auto doesn't have special pricing for mechanics, and they don't charge extra for you, us regular Joes who don't know what we're doing. They charge the same low price for everybody. Their customer service is great. Their returns policy is great. Everything about Rock Auto, if you need auto parts and you're not doing it through Rock Auto, you're just doing it wrong. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. So next time you need an auto part, go to rockauto.com. Check out all the parts that are available for your car or truck. And when you buy something, just tell them that Locked On sent you, and then they'll know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, I'm back. I talked about Dustin May and how good he looked. That was probably the main story of the game, but the fact is the offense also scored 10 runs and had 14 hits. And work the count. I mentioned Frankie Montas threw 90 pitches in less than 3 innings. After 6 innings, A's pitching had thrown 155 pitches, I noticed. It was just, you know, we saw what the Dodgers do. And I keep harping on this, and actually my third segment today is going to be answering a listener question that kind of relates to this. But we saw it again, what the Dodgers can do, how they just wear down a pitcher and they battle in these at-bats, and they don't chase pitches nearly as much as a lot of teams do. You know, when Will Smith was facing Sergio Romo later in the game, it was 1-2, and I said, well, I really like Will Smith's chances against Sergio Romo, because when Romo gets 2 strikes on you, what he counts on is getting you to chase his slider out of the zone. Sergio Romo doesn't have a strikeout pitch that's in the zone. And Will Smith doesn't chase pitches out of the zone. And what do you know? 3 straight sliders. Smith looked at him and he walked, you know, and that's the at-bat you get from Will Smith. And it's not just him. It's most of the team. They just dominate you. The offense also took advantage of some mistakes. There was a ground ball by Mookie Betts to Matt Chapman that Chapman didn't play well. I think they gave Mookie a hit on it. There's a decent chance that Mookie might have beat it out anyway. Either way, it was kind of a second chance for the Dodgers. And then next batter, Corey Seager, with two outs, bases loaded, he hits a base-clearing double to center field that just, you know, Corey Seager doing Corey Seager things. It was his only hit of the game. His batting average is down to like 563 now, and he still had a three-run double in the game. The big, exciting, or impressive guys in this game, Max Muncy had three hits. He went opposite field with a little blooper his first time up, and then he had two base hits up the middle. One, a line drive that almost took the pitcher's head off, looked a lot like the one in the freeway series that he almost took Shohei Ohtani's head off, and then a ground ball up the middle. Looked really good. Zach McKinstry had a few hits and a sac fly, drove in three runs. McKinstry just continues to put the bat on the ball, and Muncy too. Muncy had a terrible spring after a terrible year last year, but so far in these first five games, he's batting about 400. He's putting the bat on the ball, and that's what you need from, you know, I understand, and I'm a believer even, that a strikeout in a lot of situations is the same as any other out. It's not any worse than any other out. Some situations it is, but a lot of times, you know, I understand that with my brain, that the trade-off, what you get, you know, the power hitters, you know, even if you get more strikeouts, it's worth it for the trade of power. But then when I watch these games and I'm like, I really like when dudes put the bat on the ball. Good things can happen. You know, Max Muncy fights off a pitch and gets a bloop single. Zach McKinstry, he puts the bat on the ball. He had a sac fly. He had some hits, you know. And that's the kind of at bat, that's what you feel like you're getting with Will Smith. He's going to put the bat on the ball. He's going to hit the ball hard somewhere. And we saw last year during the regular season that doesn't always work out. Will Smith had some bad luck on balls in play, but he always, we knew, okay, he's hitting the ball hard. It's going to even out. And it did in the postseason, and it has so far this year. He has two home runs now. And McKinstry's that same kind of guy. He is putting the bat on the ball, hitting the ball hard. He had another double tonight. It's just, he is a hitter, and he's the kind of guy who, it's really easy to get excited about him because when he comes up, you know, well, at least he's going to give the team a chance that something good will happen. I know McKinstry's going to slump. I know he's going to go through phases where he strikes out a lot too. But right now he's hitting the ball hard. He's putting the bat on the ball and giving the game a chance to help him out, I guess, you know. The strikeouts never fall in, but line drives do sometimes, and a lot of the time. Justin Turner had a home run. It's only his fourth career home run in March/April. He only had three in the first month of the season in his career before Monday night. Now he has four. It was to dead center, 408 feet, looked really good. It was also Justin Turner's 500th career RBI. And it's crazy to me that he only has 500 career RBIs. He's been playing for like 12 or 13 years. But he only had, I think it was 89 RBIs in his first five seasons combined with the Orioles and Mets. He just wasn't an everyday player, wasn't a very good hitter. And, you know, he came to the Dodgers and he's been an excellent hitter. But he also, you know, he wasn't a full-time starter at first. He's only had only one time. In 2016, he had 90 RBIs. That's the only time he's had more than 71 in his career. You know, he's just... RBIs aren't everything, obviously. They're more of a team stat than a player stat. And, you know, he hasn't always had as many RBI opportunities. And the fact is, it just kind of goes to show you how impressive is guys like, you know, obviously Hank Aaron had over 2,000 RBIs. That's, you know, everything about Hank Aaron is immensely impressive. But you just see Justin Turner, who is an excellent hitter, but, you know, the timing in his career, he didn't become a full-time starter until later in his career, and just, he is a very good example of a guy who is never even going to sniff the Hall of Fame despite being an excellent player, and rightly so. He doesn't deserve the Hall of Fame, but it goes to show you don't have to be a Hall of Fame player to be a huge contributor, to have a lot of success in baseball, and to make a lot of money. So I'm happy to see Justin Turner hit this milestone, even though it's not necessarily anything to write home about. But the big thing for me is him hitting a home run in April, because he's notoriously slow starter when it comes to power. And if he can go a full season with some pop, you know, that might be what it takes. We could see him hit 30 home runs this year if he actually, you know, can hit a few this month and then pick up from there like he does normally. So overall, you know, like I said, another 14 hits for the Dodgers plus a bunch of walks, 10 more runs. This offense is really good. It's like I was talking about the pitching staff. It's not just deep, it's also really good. Same with the offense. Very deep, very good. Gavin Lux had the day off. He did pinch run for Cody Bellinger when Bellinger had to come out of the game. But other than that, you know, that was Lux had the day off. They played Edwin Rios at first base. They just have so many options on the offense, and they're going to score a bunch of runs this year, and it's a lot of fun. Even if they don't hit many home runs, they're up to 4 home runs now in 5 games this year. 3 that of the traditional variety and the inside the Parker. So, you know, we're going to see the home runs come, but it's been really nice to see them score runs in other ways too. So I'm going to come back in a minute and I'm going to talk about this question from listener Steve Gardner about hitting approach and some stuff that A-Rod said on Sunday Night Baseball the other day and how it relates to the Dodgers. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football is over, but the NBA and the NHL are in full swing. College basketball ended on Monday night, and as you know, Major League Baseball is definitely going at it. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Fantasy baseball addicts, you now have a new resource to give you an advantage in your leagues, Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly 2 decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Follow Locked On Fantasy Baseball on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. All right, back for one more segment here. I had a question in our DMs on Twitter from Steve Gardner, my old friend. He's a former guest on this show and a big Dodger fan. And he was watching the Sunday Night Baseball game between the Angels and the White Sox the other day. And I'll just read you Steve's question. He said, "I know it's questionable to listen to A-Rod, but I want to bring this up. He said on Sunday's broadcast that with so many relievers throwing so much harder, teams try to score early in the game rather than build up pitch counts to get to the bullpen. This is not my experience with the Dodgers. Is there any data to prove him wrong, to prove him or me right or wrong?" And then he followed up and said that he had sent that message before yesterday's episode, where we did talk a little bit about the Dodgers driving up the pitch count. And, you know, and I talked about it a little bit earlier on this episode. But I thought it was interesting that A-Rod would say that. You know, A-Rod's an interesting case altogether, just because when A-Rod first became a broadcaster, I was actually pleasantly surprised. I thought that he was really good. And it seems like over the last couple of years, you know, A-Rod is famously self-conscious. Like, he was already one of the best players in baseball, and then he did steroids just because he was nervous that people wouldn't like him, basically. You know, I mean, his whole career is kind of defined by that self-conscious lack of self-esteem. And, you know, and I feel bad for him in that way, but we're seeing the same thing with his broadcasting career, I feel like, because I think he is so concerned about being quote unquote a serious broadcaster that he's kind of gotten away from the insights that come from being an all-time great. He's one of the best players ever to play baseball. There's a lot of insights that can come from that. And that's what made him really good at being an analyst when he first started. And he's gotten away from that. And now he's just spouting cliches, it feels like. And so this is one of those things where I can't tell if this is a real insight or if it's just him saying something. I haven't seen any data to support that. And you look, and yeah, walk rates are higher against relievers than against starters. But that doesn't really necessarily tell us much. And to say a blanket statement like that, that teams aren't trying to drive up pitch counts to get to the bullpen. The thing about that is that getting to the bullpen is only part of the point. Driving up the pitch count, the way to do that is to get on base. You know, you work the count, but if every batter had a 7-pitch strikeout, that's not what you're looking for anyway. Driving up the pitch count means you often end up with walks. You often end up with a guy getting an 8-pitch at bat and then getting a base hit because in those 8 pitches, you've seen everything the pitcher has to offer. And so I feel like with every pitch in and at bat, every subsequent pitch, the advantage gets more and more towards the hitter. And so it's not just about driving up the pitch count. It's about having success in these at bats and getting guys on base because that leads to runs. You know, that's kind of what was so frustrating about opening day. The Dodgers got to Germán Márquez, but they weren't able to capitalize on it, you know? And so, yeah, it was nice to knock Márquez out of the game early, but the fact that they only got that one run in against him, or one or two, I don't remember exactly, but they had so many opportunities and didn't get the runs in. And so it's not just getting him out of the game. You want to capitalize on that. A pitcher, when he's throwing his 25th pitch of an inning, he's more tired. He's more likely to make a bad pitch. And so all of these things build. It's not just about getting to the bullpen. It's about having success against the starter and then getting to the bullpen. But also, you know, even that game, opening day game against Márquez, as frustrating as it was, it set the tone for the rest of that series because the Rockies had to bring in their bullpen early in that game. And in the end, in a 4-game series, the Rockies got 15 2/3 innings pitched from their starters, less than 4 innings per game from their starters. And that meant that the Dodgers hitters got to have 98 plate appearances against relievers in those 4 games. You know, 24.5 plate appearances per game against relievers. So you're seeing the same relievers multiple times. You're seeing the back of the bullpen, the guys who probably aren't good enough to be in the major leagues, maybe, you know. And the fact is, the vast majority of guys who are relievers because they're not good enough to start, whether it's because they don't have good enough stuff or most often because they don't have enough stuff. They have a good pitch, and so they can be effective in short stints, but, you know, they're not good enough to face a lineup a second time through and definitely not a third time through. And so that's why they're relievers, not starters. Well, if you see a guy in game one of a series and then you see him again in game three of a series, that's very similar to seeing him twice in one game. And so you've got the advantages there. You've got worn out, you know, you get a bullpen tired, you get tired relievers, all these things, they all build on each other. And so even though the Dodgers did not get to Germán Márquez on the scoreboard, getting to him, making him throw a bunch of pitches, getting him out of the game is part of the reason that they won games 2 through 4 of that series. And so, you know, I don't know if A-Rod is right. I don't know if he's basing it on any data. And I don't know if teams in general, if it's correct what he said, that they aren't taking that approach. But the Dodgers clearly are taking the approach of, we are going to make these starters work. We've seen it in every game so far this season that the Dodgers hitters have made the starting pitchers work, and they have then gotten to the bullpen and knocked around the bullpens too. And so whatever teams are doing, I know what the Dodgers are doing, and it's working, and that's part of the reason the Dodgers are one of the best teams in baseball. You know, the fact is, relief pitchers, if they were good enough to face teams as much as they've been facing the Dodgers, they'd be starters. You know, it's like in football, the old joke on my high school team, whenever a defensive back would drop what should have been a interception, the coaches would say, well, if he could catch, he'd be a receiver. You know, if these guys could handle that, they'd be starters. There's a reason they're relievers. So yeah, they do in general throw harder, but they are worse pitchers. And so getting to the bullpen is almost always going to be a benefit to the team. And the way you can tell that is because if it wasn't, then the opposing team would just start their bullpen. You know, if it really was worth it to have your bullpen pitch 6 innings a game, teams would go into it with that plan. But very teams do go into a game with that plan because it's not sustainable, and overall it's not a good plan. So, you know, teams are trying to score every inning. Every time they come up to bat, they're trying to score runs. But the Dodgers' approach of wearing down the pitchers is absolutely the right approach, and it's part of the reason that they are the reigning World Series champions and the favorites to repeat as World Series champions. So, Steve, I hope that answered your question, even though I don't have any data. You know, it kind of tells you how I feel about the Dodgers anyway and their approach. So I think that's going to do it for today. It was a fun game. And like I said, we got Clayton Kershaw going today. Excited to see him pitch at sea level and hopefully have his slider working, have his curveball working, and have some command with that fastball and see him, you know, make us feel a little bit better about what we're going to get from him this year. Thank you for listening. Please follow the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, go ahead and follow us there. Even if you don't use it, that will help other people find us. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. Our phone number to send us a text or leave us a voicemail is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!